May the Lord help us to commence our services today by singing hymn number 901. A godliness which feeds on form and lip devotion, barren cheer, will satisfy an earthly worm who learns to think and call it prayer. Contented with the husky part, a moving lip and silent heart. O Lord, thy Spirit's aid impart and fill me with devotion's fire. Create anew my waiting heart and heavenly breathings there inspire. Bid heart and flesh cry out for thee, and thou my joyful portion be. Hymn 901.
Two portions from the Holy Word of God that I'd like us to read together this morning. Our first reading is from the book of the Psalms, and I'd like us to read together the 103rd Psalm. And our second reading is from the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. I'd like us to read together the 5th chapter. So our first reading this morning, Psalm 103, the Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth judgment. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, second reading is from the book of the Romans. That's the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. I'd like us to read together the 5th chapter. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if, then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Whereof, is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord bless unto each of us the reading of his holy word. May help each of us in prayer. Great, almighty Lord God, what worthless worms are we. Lord, we come before thee. We come before thee, Lord, revealed exactly as we are. Thou seest us through and through. We come, Lord, in all our poverty. We come, Lord, in all our needs. We come, Lord, in all our wretchedness. We come in all our filthiness. And we come in faith. Faith unto a precious Christ. O Lord, grant unto us that true grain of living faith to trust alone in thee. Lord, we come. We come, Lord, wretched sinners. But we come to the Saviour of sinners. We come to that one who walked this sin-cursed earth, a precious Christ. The one who came into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for sinners. Yea, nay, again, the third day for their justification. We come, Lord, pleading him and him alone. Lord, Lord, thou knowest, thou seest us through and through. Thou seest our many sins, the sins that we've committed. Oh, Lord, we come so short of that standard that's set in thy holy word. We come, Lord. Well, Lord, we come confessing our sins. Do, Lord, grant unto us that true confession of sin, that we might come before thee, Lord. For, Lord, we've sinned greatly before thee. But, Lord, we would come. Come, Lord. We have to come. We have no one else we can go to. We come to a precious Christ. O Lord, may he be seen instead of us when we approach to thee. O Lord, that one who stands between in garments dyed in blood, that mediator between God and man. There is one mediator between God and the man, Christ Jesus. O Lord, we thank thee, we worship thee, that we have an advocate, one who stands between, Lord, one who knows the feeling of our infirmities, for he has felt the same, Lord, one who walk this sin-cursed earth, Lord, one who's so perfect, a perfect Saviour. Lord, we're so imperfect. We're so unrighteousness. Lord, we have no righteousness in and of our own. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, Lord. We've got nothing in and of ourselves to plead before thee. We've got nothing in ourselves to give the Creator delight or merit thy esteem. We've got no worthiness, Lord. We come before thee as one of the worms crawling on this earth. But Lord, we do come. We must come. And we come, Lord, looking to thee. May, Lord, we look by faith to a precious Christ. May, Lord, he be the sum and substance of our religion. May, Lord, we not think we've got anything of ourselves. We have nothing. All we've got, Lord, is that wretched heart, that heart that's desperately wicked, that heart that's deceitful. Oh, Lord, who can know it? Well, thou knowest it, Lord. Thou knowest our wretched heart, our evil heart of unbelief. Oh, Lord, may we come. May we come, Lord, and we do come, trusting alone in the finished work of our Redeemer. One, Lord, who suffered, bled and died. Oh, Lord, the agonies that thou did endure on the cross. The hiding of thy Father's face. In Gethsemane, Lord, the agonies, thy sweat that dropped, as it were, great drops of blood. Oh, Lord, the agonies that thou did endure for sinners. May we each know. Every single one of us, Lord, those that are listening, those, Lord, that fear thy name, those that want to fear thy name, may we each, Lord, have a saving interest, a personal interest in the finished work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May we each have those tokens and evidences, the kisses of thy mouth. May, Lord, we each have those evidences that we are amongst thy number, that, Lord, that we're under that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. That before time began, thou did choose us. Lord, we didn't choose thee. No, Lord. Lord, thou hast a number that no man can number. A number that were chosen before time began. Sinners, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come. We come in that hope. That hope that we are amongst that number. That, Lord, thou hast graven our names on the palms of thy hand. That, Lord, thou hast suffered, bled and died for us. And rose again for our justification. Lord, may we each know. Personally, individually, that we are amongst thy number, that we're not deceivers, Lord. Oh, Lord, what a solemn state condition, Lord, to be a deceiver. Lord, we might deceive ourselves. We might deceive each other, but we won't deceive thee. Thou seest us through and through, Lord. And how it comes to our mind, we think of Paul. Paul, Lord, the eminent preacher of the gospel, and how, Lord, one of his concerns, that he should prove to be a castaway. Oh, Lord, may we not be like that. May we not be deceivers. May we not be amongst the castaways. But may, Lord, we know. May, Lord, thou speak unto us, Lord. Assure each of us that we are amongst thy number, amongst thy people. Lord, that thou hast bore our sins, bore our transgressions, bore our iniquities. And through that sacrifice once made for sin, we're made whiter than snow. We're made acceptable in thy sight, Lord. Lord, some of us are great sinners. We trust there are those that are listening, Lord. Nay, we would desire, if it's thy will, that it was all that was listening. Might, Lord, know their lost and ruined condition before thee. We're all sinners, Lord. What a mercy it is if we know we're sinners. And what a mercy it is to the operation of the Holy Spirit within us to lead us to a precious Christ. That one who came into this world to receive sinners, those uttermost sinners that come unto thee, those that come unto thee, they want to no wise cast off. Lord, may that be our plea. May that we turn it into a prayer. Don't cast me off, Lord. Don't cast me away. Don't cast me aside. Oh, Lord, may we each have those tokens and evidences, Lord. Lord, let us not rely just upon notion or emotion. Something must be known and felt. May, Lord, we each hear thy voice. Oh, Lord, how solemn it will be if thou art silent unto us. Be not silent unto me, Lord. Lest speak, Lord, lest thou be silent unto me. I become like those that go down into the pit. Now, the pit is what we deserve, Lord. A never-ending eternity in hell. But, Lord, thou came into this world for sinners. Oh, Lord, may, Lord, we each know, from the youngest to the eldest, none are beyond thy reach, Lord. May we each know that we are amongst thy number. Look, thou Well, Lord, that we are amongst thy people, amongst those that are chosen, amongst those that are called, amongst that peculiar people, that royal priesthood, that chosen generation. May, Lord, we know, oh Lord, some of us are fearing creatures. Lord, we often fear where no fear is, Lord. But Lord, we are, some of us are fearing creatures, Lord. We have that fear, perhaps, that if thou wilt call for thine, that we should be left out. Oh Lord, but assure each of us, Lord. Oh Lord, speak with a fear not. We thank thee for thy many fear nots that are in thy word. Speak them with power to our souls. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine, Lord. Lord, we believe that thou didst speak that to this poor sinner many years ago. Fear not, oh Lord, what a fear. I have redeemed thee. Oh, what a redeemer. Oh Lord, fear not, for I have called thee. Oh Lord, call each of us by thy irresistible grace. Do, Lord, call us and draw us nigh unto thee, Lord. I have redeemed thee, I've called thee, and thou art mine. Oh Lord, what a mercy if we're thine, not the devil's. Oh Lord, thine, to be amongst thy people. Oh Lord, speak unto each of us while there is yet time. Hasten, Lord, unto us while there is yet time. Work mightily in our own hearts and those that we know. Oh Lord, work mightily while there is yet time. Death is upon the road. We live in such solemn times, Lord. We think of that pestilence, that plague, the COVID virus, Lord, that's abroad in our nation and throughout the world. Many are being taken from time into eternity in a twinkling of an eye. Many, Lord, have great suffering. Many, Lord, laid aside. And we do think of those, Lord, that have lost loved ones. We, Lord, even heard, as thou knowest, on the previous day of one taken to be with thee, which is far better. I'm not wishing that, Lord, but we pray for the family. We pray for those that mourn. Uphold them and strengthen and support them, Lord. But may be a comfort unto them, Lord, that this gone to be with thee and is now, Lord, in heaven with thee. Oh, Lord, but what of those that remain? What of us, Lord, that are still on this sin-cursed earth? Oh, Lord, may be a speaking word unto each of us. Be ye also ready, Lord, and may come as a thief in the night. None of us knows, Lord, when thou wilt call. May, Lord, we not be found like the foolish virgins. Oh, Lord, what a solemn parable that was. Those 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. To the outside world, to those that looked on, to the wise, the foolish were indistinguishable. They had those garments on. They had the lamps of profession. But lacking, Lord, they lacked the oil of thy grace. May, Lord, we not be found like that. May we be ready, ready for when thou wilt call, and to go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. O Lord, we may also be ready. O Lord, prepare each of us, as our hymn writer says. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. O Lord, work mightily inside each of us, that we might be amongst that prepared people to go to a prepared place. Oh Lord, may we not be found destitute. May we not be found lacking that vital thing, Lord. Thy grace, thy love, thy mercy shed abroad in our hearts. The saving knowledge of a precious Christ. Oh Lord, speak to each of us. Speak, Lord, through thy word. So, Lord, something. Thou art a sovereign in what thou dost use. We know, Lord, thou can use anything. Thou can use the line of a hymn. Thou can use thy holy word. I can use the poor preaching, anything, Lord. But, Lord, do not be silent unto us. Oh, Lord, how solemn it will be. How solemn the only time we will hear thy voice, Lord. And every single person, man, woman, child, that's ever lived or ever will live, will hear thy voice, Lord. Every single one. And how solemn it will be if the only time we hear thy voice is on that day when we stand before thy judgment seat. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, Lord, how solemn. How solemn if that's the only time that we will hear thee. But, Lord, speak. Thy word declares that thy sheep know thy voice. Thy sheep follow thee, Lord. May we be amongst thy sheep. Those that know thee. Those that follow thee. Those, Lord, who find that rest in the shepherd. The perfect shepherd. May, Lord, we not be those that are kept afar off. May we not be amongst those, Lord, that know thee not, Lord, have a solemn state and condition, Lord. And again, our thoughts go to thy judgments that are shed abroad throughout the world. This virus, Lord. Oh, Lord, use it. That's the sinner's desire. Use it to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory, Lord. Lord, what solemn days we live in. Lord, in this nation in which we live, and we think of our Prime Minister, brought, Lord, to that great affliction. And we gather, Lord, even brought to great extremity in it. And, Lord, raised again. Raised, Lord, to a measure of health and strength. And yet, Lord, how solemn. Not a single word of thee that this sinner's heard. Not a single word praising thee. Not a single word calling out for thy mercy, O Lord. This virus that's shedding abroad in our nation throughout the world, Lord, use it. Use it, Lord, to turn sinners unto thee, we beseech of thee. O Lord, that there might be those numbered, Lord, those, Lord, amongst thy people who might be awakened to their state and condition by this virus that shall cry out. Cry out, Lord, as the Greeks, what must I do to be saved? Lord, death is upon the road. Death is upon the road, Lord. What solemn times we live in, Lord, thy judgments. O Lord, but work mightily, Lord. We cry for mercy. O Lord, may we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, an almighty hand, thy judgments, Lord. We think of the many things that go on the Lord's day before this virus came in, to the sport, the Sunday trading and so on, Lord. These things were stopped. O Lord, but again, we think of our government. What's the first things they're planning to do? To start these things, to start the sport. Lord, we even read yesterday that they were planning to relax the Sunday trading laws, at least for a year, so that things can, in their eyes, get back to normal. Oh, Lord, the eyes of our government seems to be purely on economics, purely on the wealth of the nation, Lord. Well, Lord, we're not casting stones. We can't cast stones. This sinner can't anyway. Can't cast stones. I deserve to be stoned myself, Lord. But, oh, Lord, have we learnt nothing as a nation, as individuals, all our nation, Lord? The first thing they should be doing is opening places of worship, that prayer might be offered up to thee, Lord. We hear nothing from our leaders regarding a national day of prayer. We think back, Lord, to the last world war. Our king, many believe, was a godly person. How he called for a national day of prayer. Not our leaders now, Lord. What solemn times. We think of the other things, Lord, that are on our statute book. The abortions that can happen so easily, Lord, and how they're thinking of changing the law. They might have already done it, Lord. This sinner doesn't know. Regarding divorce. How, Lord, now they seem to be trying to make it easier. How solemn that they appear to be making divorce easier, but not marriage. Oh, Lord, that sacred institution, instituted by thee, was cast aside by man. Oh, Lord, hear us. We can't do anything, Lord, but we can do something really great. Prayer. That's our only weapon we've got, Lord. What a weapon it is, the privilege of prayer. And, Lord, we would beseech of thee that thou would hear us, Lord, hear our poor prayers. That thou, Lord, would lessen these restrictions that are on us, if it is thy will, that we might be favoured once more to gather in thine earthly courts, Lord, to worship thee. Thy word declares that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, Lord, but thou knowest the laws, Lord, forbid us to gather, Lord. Grant, Lord, that we might gather. Grant that we might be gathered back in our causes of truth, Lord, to sing the doxology. O Lord, but may we search ourselves. May we try ourselves. That this plague has come upon us, is it for my sins, Lord? Oh, Lord, I'm a great sinner, chiefest of sinners. But, Lord, thou knowest, Lord, well, when we search our hearts, is it for my sins that this has happened? Have I taken the Lord's day for granted? Have I taken thy house for granted? Have I taken assembling ourselves together for granted? Oh, Lord, we should be so careful about these things, Lord. How, Lord, coming and going to the Lord's Day. How come the Lord's Day, Lord, we can just be taking as part of our routine, as it were, Lord. We can't now. These things are shut, Lord. Well, is it because I've been careless over these things? Lord, perhaps I've been prayerless over them, Lord. May we not come to thy house in the sake of a Pharisee, as that one did in thy word, came up with the publican, Lord. May we come, Lord, in humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, Lord, but text doesn't stop there, does it? No, Lord, thou knowest. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and exalt thee in due season. Oh, Lord, be with us, we pray. Enable us to gather in thy name, and Lord, work mightily amongst those that fear thee not. Open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, that they might see wonderful things out of thy gospel, Lord. And Lord, that the causes of truth might be built up. A godly, gracious increase. Lord, we think of the causes of truth, the cause of truth this sinner goes to, where only one, two or three meet in thy name. Oh, Lord, grant that Zion might be built up, that thy dead elect might be made manifest, that sinners might come forth and say, what a dear Saviour they have found, Lord. Do, Lord, work mightily, Lord. How solemn it is, Lord. We've recently heard, of course, of one of thy chapels shutting, one of thy causes of truth, Lord. A solemn day in which we live. But, oh, Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice, Lord, that even yesterday we heard of one Lord, who, a chapel, Lord, where there is not even a church. One Lord who spoke before three of thy servants, Lord, and has been accepted. Accepted, Lord, to be baptized when it's possible. Oh, Lord, thou art still working. We thank thee for that, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that, well, there are still a few. There's still a few, Lord, and we think of our brother deacon at Braintree before he was taken into glory. How we used to be thankful for a few like-minded friends. A few, Lord, that he was able to gather with. A few that have not bowed the knee to bow. We thank thee, Lord, that even in this nation in which we live, there are still a few, a small remnant of thy elect. Oh, Lord, build up Zion. Grant that it might see better days. Be with each of thy people, those that are cast down when they cast their burdens, cares and concerns upon thee. Be with those that are afflicted. Grant healing mercies in accordance with thy mind and with thy will. Raise them up from a bed of affliction. And do, Lord, sanctify these things to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. Do, Lord, be with them. We pray, be with those that care for them. We think of our Bethesda homes and those that are in other homes. Lord, keep them safe from harm. We thank thee, Lord, that there has been that wall of fire round about them. But Lord, do, Lord, be with them. Do be the glory in the midst. Do, Lord, be with those that care for them. Do, Lord, be with the those that mourn. Do be with the those that are on their own, those that are confined to their own homes at this time, those, Lord, that don't have any earthly presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, reveal thyself unto them. Thou art everywhere, Lord, an omniscient God. Reveal thy gracious presence unto them. Do, Lord, draw nigh unto them, Lord, even when the hours of the day, perhaps the early hours or the late night when they're on their own, or they're not our own, are they, Lord? Do, Lord, grant thy gracious presence. Do, Lord, grant they might feel those everlasting arms underneath them, upholding them, strengthening them, and supporting them. Do be with them, we pray. Do be with the elderly, those that feel the mud wall cottage shake, those that feel the grasshopper a burden. Do, Lord, draw nigh. Grant that their latter end might be better than their beginning. Grant them health and strength sufficient for the day, and do be with them, we pray. And do be with the young and rising generation, Lord. Lord, we pray that thou'd work mightily, even amongst them. We think of those, Lord, who perhaps would have had exams at this time. Those, Lord, that might be fast hoping, or if it's thy will, to go on to university. Oh, Lord, and the exams aren't happening. Well, it's all in thy hand, Lord, isn't it? May each be given that grace to truly know there is one who's in control, an almighty God. Nothing takes thee by surprise, Lord. Thou knowest everything. And may, Lord, they be able to make these things a matter of prayer. Do, Lord, open doors. Do, Lord, shut doors, we pray. Do be with the young and rising generation. Lord, raise them up. Lord, keep them. Keep them close to thy word. Close to the cause of truth, close to thy people, and raise them up. Raise them up in years to come to call thee the Redeemer blessed, a seed to call thee, a seed to worship thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, and we think of what Mr. Ransbottom said many years ago, pillars. Raise them up to be pillars in each of the cause of truth. Lord, thou art the removing the pillars. Do, Lord, grant that others might come forth, Lord, that thou would strengthen the things that remain. Do be with them, Lord. From the youngest, Lord, we would pray for them. Uphold and strengthen and support. Be with parents at this time and each time, Lord. Do, Lord, grant them wise counsel and good judgment, that they might train up their children the way that they should go. They might bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do, Lord, grant wise counsel and good judgment. And do, Lord, be with them, we pray. O Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, let us not murmur or repine. Let us, Lord, be truly thankful. May we offer that praise due unto thee for thy mercies, Lord. Thy many mercies, Lord, they're countless to us, Lord. They are new every morning. Oh, Lord, we have so much. We have an abundance. We have the food. We have provision, Lord, the many things in providence that we have, Lord. We thank thee for them. May, Lord, we not take these things for granted, but may we hold the things of this world with a very loose hand, that be that one thing needful, that we might search first for thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and all these things might be added unto us. Lord, we have so much. We thank thee for them, Lord. We thank thee for the many things thou hast provided. And where our thoughts go, well, this sinner's thoughts go to the many places throughout the world that don't have our liberties, that don't have a Protestant heritage, Lord. There are many places throughout the world where thy people have great persecution. Lord, thou knowest, we were talking even last night at tea time about China, Lord, and what happens. Oh, Lord, we pray for thy people. Thou hast a people throughout the whole world, Lord, amongst all nations, kindreds and tongues. Lord, we pray for thy people, Lord. Uphold them and strengthen those that suffer great persecution, persecution even unto death. Those, Lord, that aren't able to gather on the Lord's day. Those that don't have thy word in their own language. Those that don't have a cause of truth together in, let alone one of thine own preachers. Oh, Lord, be with thy people. Lessen the persecution if it is thy will. And do, Lord, grant that grace to persevere. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, may we prove it. Although we're weak, although we're feeble, thou art, Lord, thy strength. O Lord, thou art the strength of Israel, the strength of thy people, their fortress, their refuge, their hiding place, their rock, their salvation. May they and may we prove it. Be with those that produce and distribute Bibles. May, Lord, thou use them by thee to the saving of souls. Work mightily, we pray. And do, Lord, forgive all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our shortcomings. Lord, we're great sinners. Wash us in that precious sin-atoning blood. Make us acceptable in thy sight, we pray, Lord. Our sins, Lord, they are as scarlet, the crimson. Oh, Lord, may be made whiter than snow through the finished work, the blessed work of the blessed Redeemer, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May he be everything to us. May he be the sum and substance of our religion, sum and substance of our life. May we be found in him. May we eat, may we drink of him. May, Lord, we be numbered amongst thy people. Lord, may we have a greater union with thee. May, Lord, we feel more of thy presence, and may thy presence more frequent be. May, Lord, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, work mightily inside each of us. Make us more like thou would have us be, less like we are. O Lord, we plead a precious Christ. We plead him and him alone. And may he be the rock, our firm foundation, the one who we build our hopes for heaven upon, Lord. We've nothing of ourselves, Lord, nothing at all. What we have got, Lord, we received of thee, a precious Christ. O Lord, make him more precious. Make him, Lord, the chiefest among 10,000. Make him the altogether lovely for us. Do, Lord, be with us, we pray. Help this poor sinner to speak a few things to thy praise, thine honour, and thy glory. Thou knowest, Lord, our great fears regarding this service. My fears, anyway, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, I beseeched of thee, that thou would give me something deep, something meaningful, something learned, but thou, Lord, thou said, preach the things that thou hast handled, tasted, and felt of the good word of God. O Lord, that's all I can do. Preach the things that thou hast taught me. O Lord, and may there be a purpose in it. May, Lord, there be something, something that might remain with each of us. And may we be led to a precious Christ. May be the sum and substance of all the preaching. May, Lord, our petition be as that one in thy word, to know nothing among us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. May, Lord, that be the gospel preaching. And may, Lord, thou be lifted up very high, lay us low. And may we exalt thee, the Saviour of sinners. Accept of a heart that got you for every mercy, for that gift beyond every gift, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 963. Blessed Spirit from above, teach, oh teach me how to pray. Fill my soul with heavenly love, lead me the celestial way. Hymn 963.
As the Holy Spirit may help me, I'd attempt to speak a few words from the verse that you can find in the 103rd Psalm. It's one of the portions of God's holy word that we read together earlier, the 103rd Psalm. And the verse that's light upon my spirit, thinking very much about this morning's service, is the last clause in the 10th verse. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'll actually read from the 8th verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This psalm we read together is a psalm of David. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart, a man who, as a boy, took part in that battle, and through God's grace, he enabled him to defeat the Philistine. David, the sweet psalmist, as I said, but a sinner. How David, in this psalm, and many believe this psalm was written in David's old age or in his latter years, when he felt more the weight of his sins and that need of mercy. David, of course, who had many deliverances at the hand of the Almighty God. He waxed mighty. He was a man of war. Many battles through God's help. God going before him. The Israelite nation were able to make David a sinner. And how he sinned. And of course, I'm sure you're well aware of the two incidences in David's life that call to my mind when I think of David and his sinnership. The first, of course, was with Bathsheba. How he tarried in Jerusalem. And Joab went out to war. How he went up upon the rooftop, sure, Bathsheba. And how then he had that relationship with Bathsheba. Bathsheba became pregnant. Of course, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And then, of course, David sought to cover up the fact that she was pregnant. He arranged for Uriah to come home. And how he then arranged for Uriah to go home, thinking that perhaps that might hide what David had done. But Uriah, no, a very honourable man in this case. Uriah stayed. He didn't go home. He stayed at the doorhouse. He stayed at the doorway. He didn't go home. So then, of course, David had that meal, made him drunk. And he still didn't go home. And then, of course, David arranged for Uriah to go in the forefront of the battle, sent that letter to Joab. And then how Uriah, in the forefront of the battle, was slain. What a solemn series of events. Now, we and I cannot cast stones at David, friends, nor do I intend to. I said it in prayer. We can't cast stones. We can't judge another. We're sinners, great sinners. There was David's sin. And what did he say? He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And he said that, of course, when Nathan, the prophet, went and thou art the man. Nathan told him, of course, that parable of that rich man. And that poor man had that ewe lamb. Thou art the man. David owned it before the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. And of course, that second occasion when the devil raised up David to number the people, and how David said, I have sinned greatly. And then how Gad, the seer, was sent to David and gave David those three options. And what David's reply was, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. That was David's response. Didn't know which of the three things to choose. All great judgments, solemn judgments of the Lord against sin. But his request was, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies of great. And of course, you can read about it in the book of Samuel. The Lord sent that pestilence against the Israelite nation, and 70,000 died. So David knew he was a sinner, knew that he'd sinned, owned it before the gracious God, sought for his mercy. David knew that he knew. David knew that he needed mercy. He needed saving from his sins. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What a great God we've got. What a merciful God we've got. In the 8th verse of the 103rd Psalm, the bit I started this reading with, it said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous and mercy." And he is. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's also a just God. He's a perfect God. Says in the word of God, "Whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap." David, with his sin of Bathsheba, of course, they had that child that was born. The child died. How David mourned when it was alive, when it was ill. But when the child was dead, he rose up and ate. God is not mocked. "Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The sin of David, numbering the people, 70,000 died. What a merciful God we've got, though. What a merciful God. Doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. No, because it's a precious Christ, isn't it? The sum and substance of the religion, of our religion. What a merciful God we've got. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 13, it says this: "And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this." What a merciful God we've got. Punishes his people. Yes, if we sin, if we backslide. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," but it's in mercy. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, or as our iniquities deserve." What a gracious, merciful God we've got. I hope you know the weight of your sins. I hope you know what your sins deserve. This comes to my mind in the book of the Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, the 22nd verse, it says this: "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." What a merciful God we've got. What a merciful God. David knew that he was a sinner. That had been revealed to him, made him cry out for mercy. He could say in the 8th verse, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Yes, our God is a long-suffering God, but he is a merciful God. What a wonderful thing it is that sinners, and everyone in this whole world is a sinner. Everyone is shapen in it. We're all sinners, every single one, conceived in iniquity, shapen in sin. Every single one of us is sinners. What a mercy, though, if through the action of the Holy Spirit, it's been revealed to you and I what we are, sinners. It's been revealed to you and I what we deserve, a never-ending eternity in hell. Now, what is sin? Sin is, of course, the transgression of the law. It's disobedience. We have that sin that's from our first forefathers, Adam and Eve. When they were in the garden in Eden, they communed with their creator. But they were given that clear instruction not to eat of the tree of good and evil. But they did. The devil, that serpent, beguiled them. The original sin. And how they said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." how after they'd eaten of that forbidden fruit, the Lord came walking in his garden, I think it says in the heat of the day, and how they were afraid. Their eyes had been opened. They knew what they are. Oh, they were afraid because they were naked and they hid themselves. And that was despite having those fig leaf aprons that they'd sewed together. So sin is a disobedience. Sin is a transgression. It causes a great separation, a separation between sinners and God. The law, the holy law of God, is perfect, given, of course, to Moses. The holy law, you and I cannot keep the holy law of God. You and I are sinners. What a great thing it is to be a sinner. What a merciful thing if the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to know that you are a sinner and led to a precious Christ. What does it say about the law? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It also says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one part is guilty of all. Well, friends, what about you? What about I? He that's done one sin has broken the holy law of God, every single sin. And who hasn't committed one sin? If you went out of your house and you asked some people if we were unable to about sin, what would they say? They'd probably talk about living in sin. They'd probably laugh at you. They'd probably think, well, people don't like to hear about sin. No, it's against their pride, isn't it? And it's against our pride in and of ourselves. But if the Holy Spirit was revealed to you, what a sinner you are. What a sinner I am. How we've broken God's holy law. How we cannot keep his law. He that's broken one. We've founded one sin. It's guilty of all. Lord, well, we're great sinners, aren't we? I hope the Holy Spirit was revealed to you what you are. A hell deserving sinners. If the Lord dealt with you, if he deals with you according to the law, then it's hell for eternity with no escape. Hell's a terrible place, and that's what you and I deserve, friends. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Wages. Now you earn your wages, don't you? You've earned death, eternal death. I've earned death, eternal death. As I said, you've got that original sin. This, and we went from the womb speaking lies. We have that sin from our original forefathers, but we have the sin that we've committed. Oh, what sinners we are. How short we come. I know we're not under the law. We're under grace, if we're amongst the Lord's people. But what sinners we are. What a load of sin we've got. It weighs upon us, doesn't it? Doesn't it weigh you down? But what a mercy if it does. What a mercy if it has. What a mercy if you know you've sinned against the Lord, as David said. What a mercy if you know that you have sinned greatly. Thank God if you know you're a sinner. Thank God if it's revealed to you your sinnership. As I said, many thousands, no, millions don't. Many thousands and many millions, eyes aren't opened. Their ears aren't, they're deaf to the sound of the gospel. They don't know their lost and ruined condition. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What a solemn thing. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a solemn thing sin is in the sight of a holy, holy, holy God, a perfect God one who cannot look upon a single sin in a single sinner with any degree of allowance. But what a mercy it is. It is a mercy not to be left there. If the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart and in mine to reveal what we are, thank God for it. Thank God that you're not left to go blindly through this world. Thank God that you're not left with a hard heart. Because we have a hard heart by nature, friends. We've got that heart that's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. Do you know your own heart? Do you know how deceitful it is? How desperately wicked it is? David did. David was shown his heart, showed his desperate wickedness, and he fled to a precious Christ by faith. God is merciful. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Friends, if the God who's perfect had dealt with you after your sins, you'd be in hell now. That's what we deserve. Said it earlier. You and I have earned hell. We've got those sins of commission, sins of those things that we have done. We've got the sins of omission, those things that we should have done that we've not done. How short we come. No, let me be personal. How short I come. I trust that you can come in with how short we come. We're so imperfect creatures, aren't we? We're so unholy creatures in and of ourselves. As I said, we've got that evil heart. We've got an evil heart of unbelief in and of ourselves. But oh, create in me clean heart, that new heart. That's what we need. The Holy Spirit to work. And if the Holy Spirit, what a mercy it is that the Holy Spirit, when he does work, doesn't leave a sinner wallowing in their filth. Doesn't leave the sinner in the pit of despair. No. The law work, isn't it? I've heard many talking about the law work. And the Lord's a sovereign, of course, isn't he? There's no one size that fits all. Some feel their sinnership far greater than others. Some feel that they're at the pit greater than others. The Lord's a sovereign. Some he leads to the deepest depths of sinnership. But he doesn't leave them there, does he, friends? Not if they're amongst the Lord's people, no. They're led to a precious Christ. It says in Romans chapter 6, let's turn to it, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What a wonderful thing that is. You and I are sinners. You and I deserve hell, but to have a hope of heaven, to have hope of heaven through his mercy. Wasn't it Martin Luther who had that dream? He had that dream and the devil came to him and he had that scroll. And that scroll he read and had all these sins on it and came to the end of the first scroll. And I think I might have got the words a little bit wrong, so forgive me. But Martin Luther said, "Is that all?" And there was another two scrolls that were then read. And then at the end of it, well, think of your sins, friends, just for a minute. Think of mine. Think if they were listed. And they are listed. Think if they were read to you, how it would go on, how mine would go on. What a great long list it would be. It would go on and on and on. Great sinners. But what did Martin Luther say at the end when those three scrolls had been read? Is there something on the lines of, you've forgotten something? What had he forgot? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's wonderful, that, isn't it? What a wonderful is, of course, one of our Saviour's names. He is wonderful. The work of salvation is wonderful. He is wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that that text I've just quoted says all sin? Not one remaining. Everyone blotted out by the precious sin-atoning blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a mercy it is, friends. What a mercy that there is a Saviour. There'd be no hope, absolutely no hope for you and me, or any other man, woman, or child that's ever lived. No hope at all of eternal life, because we're sinners. We cannot come before the thrice holy God in and of ourselves. We can't. There's no other way into heaven apart from a precious Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way into heaven but through a precious Christ. There are many religions throughout the world, and how solemn they are. Many religions who, well, they think of Jesus Christ. Some accept Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. I was reading one of the sermons that came out from Mr. Buss, and it said, he's the Son of God, but he's God the Son. There are many that own him as the Son of God, not God the Son. The one who came into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for sinners. Well, there are many religions who nominally own our Lord of life and glory. And they think that they think sinners can get to heaven by doing something themselves. And then the scales are made up by throwing in a precious Christ. I say that reverently. How solemn to be deluded. You and I, friends, have got absolutely nothing. Nothing we can bring except our evil heart. We've got no good act, work, or deed to plead. There's nothing we can do. Nothing. I may have mentioned it in prayer. Nothing we can do to give the Creator delight or to merit his esteem. We're sinners. There's nothing we have to do. It's all been done. Our precious Christ. What did he say on the cross? Our Lord of life and glory. It is finished. What a mercy it is, friends. What a mercy it is that there's nothing we can do, nothing we have to do. A precious Christ. He's done everything. Everything for his people. What a mercy. Well, friends, I trust that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you what you are, what you deserve, and you've been led to a precious Christ. Perhaps you haven't been led to a precious Christ. Perhaps you're just in that state of condition of feeling how wretched you are, how unworthy you are. Well, if that's the Holy Spirit's work, you will be led to a precious Christ. Those that cometh unto me will in no wise cast. What a mercy that is. This is the one, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to receive sinners. The Pharisees said that of him, didn't he? If he knew what manner of sinners that came to him, he would not eat with them. But this is the one that came into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for sinners. He receiveth sinners. He eateth with sinners. Oh, to be led to a precious Christ. Well, there'd be no hope for you and I, friends, if we're not found in him. If he isn't everything to us, if he isn't the chiefest among 10,000. Well, I trust that you know what you deserve, hell. But our text, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. He doesn't in this life if we're amongst his people. There was David, those two sins that he committed. The Lord brought things into his life. He had to, whatever I said, whatsoever man soweth actually reap, but it's in mercy. It's in love. Whatever the Lord brings into your life, friends, whatever he's thought to bring into your life or allowed Satan to bring into your life, it's for our teaching. May we be taught. The Lord teaches to profit. May we be taught by the things that come into our lives what we are. No, what we deserve. May we have our hearts open to receive the teaching. May we humble ourselves under it. May we own our sins. May we confess our sins before God. Now, none of you may know that I wasn't brought up amongst our denomination. It wasn't till I was in my early or mid-20s that I was actually brought amongst the Lord's people by the Lord's work, I trust. How he led me amongst his people. And I shudder, friends, to think of my sins. before that time. My family, I keep my sins hidden from them. I don't tell them what I did. I don't tell them what I was like. Sometimes they might find that a bit frustrating. Sometimes they might find that a bit perplexing. Great sinner. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows every single sin of mine. He knows every single sin of yours. We're hardened sinners, aren't we? We often sin where we think there's no sin. Sins of omission and sins, they're known to the Lord. Again, back to that Luther, that great big long scroll. They're all known. Ah, what a mercy they are, friends. What a mercy that the Lord of life and glory knows all our sins, knows all your sins, knows all my sins. As I said, we might hide them from each other. We might even try and hide them from ourselves, but they won't be hidden from the holy, holy, holy God. We stand before him naked, as Adam and Eve said they did. Even though they had that fig leaves, we stand before him revealed exactly as we are. We can't hide anything from him, Lord. Nothing at all. He sees us through. And how solemn that is, friends. Trust you felt it. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. Sees everything that we do. Everything. My wife, who was brought up amongst the denomination, used to say that a pastor at Carsholden used to say this: it's a sin to steal a pin. Wow, sins. And if you're kept from sins, friend, if you're kept from open sins, thank God for it. Thank God. Thank God for your conscience. What a wonderful thing conscience is. That voice. Listen to it, friends. Listen to it. Don't overrule it. I believe we're the only creature on this planet that has a conscience. It's God-given. May we not ride roughshod over it. Listen to it. Oh, but we're great sinners. We deserve an eternal condemnation. We deserve nothing. Nothing at all that's good from our good and gracious. In this life, we deserve nothing that's good. Everything we receive in this life comes from his good and gracious hand. He's gracious to the wicked and the old. His provisions, everything comes from his hand. What about grace? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Do you know you need a mercy? Trust you do. What a mercy it is to know you need mercy. What a mercy it is to know that you're guilty. And then what a mercy it is to search for mercy, to cry out for mercy. I'm sure you are all, or most of you, know that historical record of Napoleon. How there was that soldier, I think it was, who'd committed an offence twice, and how his mother went to Napoleon to beseech of him that he would spare his life. And Napoleon said something along the lines that, well, he deserves it. And his mother said something along the lines, it's mercy. Mercy he needs, and mercy is ours. He was guilty. He'd done the offences. He didn't deny it. His mother didn't deny it, but he wanted mercy. I believe in that case, Napoleon did grant him mercy. But what about you and I? Have you been led to the mercy seat, the throne of grace, to confess your sins, to confess all your shortcomings, to confess all your iniquities and cry out for mercy? He is merciful, but not at the expense of justice. He is merciful to sinners. I was thinking about reading, and the time didn't permit it, the 18th of Luke. Read it at home at your leisure. And in the 18th of Luke, of course, you've got that parable of the two that went up to the temple to pray. There was the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee who prayed with himself, how solemn. Think about the hymns that your deacon's given out. Prayer. What a wonderful gift prayer is. It is. To commune with our Creator. You and I, hell-deserving sinners. We can't do it in and of ourselves, can we? It's through a precious Christ, the Mediator. He is seen instead of us when we approach to God. What a mercy that is, friends. Our God's a consuming fire. Read about it in Lamentations. He's a consuming fire. He cannot look upon a single sin in a single sin. Now, I said that earlier, with any degree of allowance. No.
but he's merciful. He's merciful through a precious Christ. In that parable, of course, the Pharisee went up, but what about the poor publican? Oh, I use the word poor. Poor in and of himself, but he was rich. He was poor and needy, but he was rich. He knew what he was. He couldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, because that's where the offence lies, and it's in our heart. It's our sins. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew he needed mercy. And he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And in that same portion of God's holy word, I think I'm right in saying at the end, there's that blind man, the blind man at Jericho, and how Jesus of Nazareth passed by and how he cried out. What did he cry out for? Well, what did he say? He said this, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. What a mercy, if you know you need mercy. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He's a great compassion. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So why did I read that portion in Romans? Of course, it deals with Paul. The thought, the verse that really brought me to this Romans chapter 5 is the 20th verse, where it reads this. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. Well, I've mentioned that already, haven't I? That schoolmaster. The schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. It didn't stop there. But where sin abounded, oh, we're great sinners, friends. Where sin abounded, it didn't stop there, though. The gospel doesn't stop there. What a mercy it doesn't. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace. The love of God, the favour of God to help deserving sinners. The grace of our Lord to you and I, if we're amongst his elect, if we're amongst his people, that grace did much more abound. Grace, the favour of God. Grace of God to sinners. Grace of God to his people. It's through that grace that love and mercy flows. The love of God to sinners, greater love, have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love of God to sinners. They should choose a people. Choose a number that no man can number. Yes, they're only known to God. You don't know who God's people are, nor do I. Only God knows. You can't judge anyone, nor can I. I keep saying it. I deserve to be stoned, friends. I can't stone anyone else. I can't judge anyone else. Got that in my eye that needs to be removed. The moment the beam, read about it. But the Lord chose the people before time began, sinners. Sinners. Esau. Think about that. What does it say? Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Chose Jacob. Chose David. David, who knew he was a sinner. Paul. What about Paul? Paul, who went about causing havoc among the churches of God, breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He said of himself, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. What would he say about that as well? Read about it in, I think it's the 1st of Timothy chapter 1. Blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. But I obtained mercy. Oh, there's that mercy again. But as I obtained mercy, because I did it in unbelief. Paul, who called himself the chiefest of sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knew what he was. He was complicit at the death of Stephen. They laid the clothes at his feet. He went about seeking the Lord's people, but he was stopped. Stopped by the grace of God on that Damascus road. That light shone about him. And the Lord revealed himself to him. It's hard for thee to kick against. Have you been pricked in your conscience? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Ah, what must I do to be saved? And he was blind, of course. And Ananias was by the Holy Spirit directed to go to him. And Ananias was frightened, of course, concerned. Who wouldn't be against Paul, the one who went seeking the Lord's people to prison? What did the Lord say to him? Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel of mercy unto me. Mercy. What a wonderful thing mercy is. What a wonderful thing grace is. The love of God flows to us through grace. Grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In that chapter that we read, very profound, very solemn, very wonderful chapter, there were some wonderful things. Whereas as by one man sin entered into the world, I've referred to that already. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There it is. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, every single one. Ah, but not all know it. Not all know it. What a mercy if you do know it. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Well, our Lord of life and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world. He gave his life a ransom for many. Now, it doesn't say all. It doesn't say all. Are you amongst the many? Has the Lord spoken to you? Has he assured you that you're amongst his people? Has he spoken to you? And the Lord's sovereign in the way he uses, of course. Has he given you an indication that you're amongst his people? There's nothing more important, friends, than to be amongst the sinners as revealed by the Holy Spirit. Those sinners then who are led by the Holy Spirit to a precious Christ. There's nothing more important while time lasts to for us to be numbered amongst his people. To be found sheltering under that covenant, ordered in all things. Otherwise, friends, the Lord will deal with us as our iniquities deserve. Will deal with us according to our sins, and it's hell. Oh, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and not be found in a precious Christ. What a solemn thing. Depart from me. I never knew. All are sinners. All have come short. We're all sinners of the deepest dye, but have you in your extremity, have you in your absolute need cried out, give me Christ or else I die? Eternal death awaits all outside of a precious Christ. Is he precious to you? Is he the chiefest among 10,000? Is he the altogether lovely? Is he the sum and substance of your religion? Is he that firm foundation? Is he everything to you? Well, it's those that he is over to that are found in heaven. Those that are found, those that have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. What a mercy. What a mercy it is that before time began, that covenant between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was entered into, that the Lord of life and glory would come down to this earth for sinners, that he'd suffer, bleed, and die for sinners. They rose again the third day for their justification. He kept the law. He's the only one who's ever kept the law. He's the lawgiver, isn't he? So, of course, he kept the law. The lawgiver kept the law, made it honourable, fulfilled it in every jot and tittle for sinners. You and I are unrighteousness. We're absolutely unrighteous. We've got no righteousness of our own. It's filthy rags. And you can't come before a king in your filthy rags. Think in this life, if the queen invited you to go to a garden party or something, you'd want to turn up in your best, wouldn't you? But we are filthy. We're disgusting. We're sinners. But oh, to be found clothed in his righteousness, that robe of his righteousness that's put on by faith, imputed, God given. Well, friends, that's what's rested upon my spirit this morning. Are you amongst his people? Has he graven you on the palms of his hand? If you are, then he will not deal with you according to your sins or as you deserve, because you deserve hell. But to have your sins borne by a precious Christ. And if there are any listening who are strangers to being a sinner, pray to the Holy Spirit, pray to the Lord to open your eyes that he may show you. Because only those that need a precious Christ go to a precious Christ. Only those that need a precious Christ are drawn. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Only those that have a need of a precious Christ, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Well, why do you labour and heavy laden? Sin. Only those that know how poor they are. Only those that know how poor and needy they are. Only those that know a precious Saviour are drawn to a precious Saviour. And if it's all the Holy Spirit's work, if being taught of the Holy Spirit is of the Holy Spirit, it won't leave you there, led to a precious Christ. So if you don't know you're a sinner, pray to be shown that you're a sinner, and then pray to be led to a precious Christ, the sum and substance of the religion, the true religion, the only religion, the one true living way. There is no other way. If you've been led to know what you are, in some measure. And we can't obviously deal with the whole weight of our sins. The Lord wouldn't lay that upon his people. It would crush us. Such a great load. But if the Lord has in measure revealed to you your sinnership, well, don't let him go. No, don't let him go till he blesses you. Blesses you with that assurance that you're amongst his people. It's my desire, my fervent prayer for everyone that's listening. I don't know who's listening, but the Lord knows. That the Holy Spirit would work in you, would work in me. I need it. Now, if you've ever had an intimation that you're amongst this people, we need it again, don't we? I do. Said earlier, fear. Fear to be left out. Fear to be deceived. Fear to be a castaway. Oh, that he would visit us again. That his visits would longer be. That we might have that union communion with him. Well, if that's your desire, you won't be disappointed. No, if it's a God-given desire, because that's heaven. Heaven. I said hell's a terrible place, and so it is. What's heaven? Heaven is the opposite of hell in a number of ways, yes. But it's where Jesus is. Oh, to view a precious Christ. Is that your desire? Is it your heart's desire? Do you long to be with him, which is far better? Oh, what a mercy. What a mercy it is. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us. He has not dealt with us after our sins, friend. What a mercy that is. Just turn to it again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so Father removed our transgressions from us. What a mercy. Heaven's a holy place. It's a holy, holy, holy place. Not a single sin in a single sinner in heaven. It's all put away. Precious Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, to be found in him. Oh, that you might know what you deserve. It's hell. Oh, that you might know a precious Christ, the Saviour of sinners. He is the peace. Maybe your peace. Maybe there's no peace outside of Christ. May the Lord forgive everything I've said amiss. But if anything's been in accordance with his will, may it be a prick in our consciences. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Christie will preach to us again this evening at 6:30. Tomorrow evening, there'll be a prayer meeting for the church members at 7:15. And on Friday evening and next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach to us on Friday at 7:00 and next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6:30. And the collections received from now until next Friday will be for FGEA, because they have a very serious situation arising from the coronavirus in Africa, India, and Myanmar. Let us close with hymn 99. Blessed Jesus, thee we sing, thou of life the eternal spring, thou art worthy, thou alone, thou the rock and cornerstone. Hymn number 99.
Two verses of a hymn I'd just like to quote in conclusion. This is the first and the last verse from the 378th hymn in Gatsby's hymn book. It says this: A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Before thy face I've told my case. Lord, help and mercy send. Pity my soul and make me whole. Love me to the end. Well, may we come as a beggar. Mercy. May we cry unto him, and may he send that mercy to hell-deserving sinners. Great and almighty Lord God, we come before thee, Lord, confessing our sins. Oh, Lord, forgive us our sins. Make sin exceeding sinful. Blot out our sins in that precious sin-atoning blood. Assure each of us, Lord, we're amongst thy number. To be found sheltering under that covenant, ordered and all things ensure. Make Jesus Christ precious to us, we pray, if he's not already. And if he is already, make him even more precious, Lord. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. Oh, the death, the resurrection of our Lord of life and glory. What a sum and subject, Lord. Oh, Lord, be with us in the interval. Keep us, Lord, and we can't keep ourselves. Do, Lord, forgive anything this poor sinner's said amiss. Lord, we have to die to speak of Christ. Oh, Lord, forgive anything I've said and make up in the many things I've failed to say. But do, Lord, follow anything, anything at all with thy blessing. May something remain with us. May, Lord, we come as the chiefest of sinners and come to the Saviour of sinners, Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. Be with us, Lord, we pray. We'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.